This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. First up, the culture of reacting immediately on social media and how to slow things down.
So this is coming about because of a couple of stories that we covered this week, right? So Will Smith, for instance, was trending all over the place on Twitter, and it's been a nonstop cycle of reactions, counter-reactions, counterpoints that have resulted since. And then yesterday, we spoke about a video that went viral of a lecturer in UITM who was recorded kind of really belittling or berating a student because of their lack of a laptop. And so that then resulted in its own little swirl, actually not little, very large swirl on Twitter of people calling for her head, essentially, and, you know, making a lot of judgments, actually not just about the lecturer, but also about the student, and so on and so forth, the cycle of reactions go. And that, I think, really had us thinking, okay, so if we're talking about this, and we ourselves are reporting on it, and reporting on it based on what's happening on social media, is there any real way to slow all this down? Now, this also really specifically crystallized, because yesterday, we spoke with Professor Tajuddin Mohamed Razdi, Professor of Architecture at UCSI, who shared his thoughts. Here he is.
I'm very concerned about social media users not understanding how to treat information. What you are seeing is just information in the form of a video. What you don't know, a whole lot of questions, the situation of the students, what is the student's attitude and the real economic situation. So we don't know whether he or she is telling the truth or not. And we also do not know the track record of the lecturers in question. We don't know a lot of things. And suddenly there is an explosion of judgment. And this is a very serious thing in our society. We basically don't know how to process information in a critical and fair context.
So the social media hot take, I think, has become quite a byproduct of our generation, right? And in some sense, as with most things, there's good and bad. Like, I always value people who actually take the time to express an opinion, particularly when it's something that can be controversial, because it does take a fair amount of boldness or a strong opinion to take a stand on something. But that said, I think by the very nature of it, a hot take has to come out immediately. It's almost always playing that chase to be the first out. It often lacks nuance. It often lacks time. Sometimes you need more information. You need time for people to come out with more information, for people to have processed what they've seen. All of those things that the prof just said, right? And so I think that it often becomes this double-edged sword.
So I think a lot of it has to do with, the exhaustion also of feeling as if the opinion must happen, as you say, now. But the other thing is whether you have to have an opinion at all. So, you know, before we were exposed to the sheer amount of things that come our way on social media, which is a very stimulating place, right? There's events occurring around the world that somebody taped and now, you know, 3,000 people have tweeted about, and therefore it becomes something that you feel you should have an opinion on as well. And I think that we are all subject to that, whether whatever your social media drug of choice is, the point is that there is a moment where you're looking at something and you know it has nothing to do with you. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't really impact you in any real way or form. And yet you feel compelled to have an opinion. And yet in the past, you would either not have been aware of it, or it wouldn't have felt, I think, so urgent or like something that you absolutely needed to weigh in on. So I think that for me, part of it is, yeah, absolutely the time pressure of it all, of like, yeah, say something now. But the other part of it is, do we have to say anything at all? I think, you know, half the time the answer is probably no.
It's that, and also the fact that often you're then opening up the conversation to hundreds and thousands and sometimes hundreds of thousands of people, right? I always go back to this particular phrase that I read somewhere about how, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the most number of people you would simultaneously have a conversation with is probably 50 or 60 people at most. Whereas now you can extrapolate that to thousands or even millions, depending on your follower count, depending on whether your profile is public or not. And often that doesn't necessarily lend itself to a productive or in-depth conversation. It often just becomes people talking at each other.
it also gets very distant from the original point, because I think, you know, I sort of thinking about it like a touchstone, right? So something happens and then the opinions start spiraling out and it no longer even becomes about anything in particular. It starts to become about, I don't know, how men and women relate to one another. It becomes about your personal experiences with how men and women relate to one another. It becomes about familial issues. And then before you know it, the argument has gone off into a completely different space. And I'm not saying that it cannot be productive. I think we just go back to that point of whether or not we're approaching these things the way we would approach regular conversations, which is to say with due consideration and with time and awareness.
We're talking about social media hot takes. This is coming, of course, in a week that has seen quite a large number of them, starting with a slap, going on to a video on a laptop. So we'd like to hear from you. Do you think social media has created a culture of knee-jerk reactions? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be discussing this with Dr. Nikki Cheong, lecturer in digital culture and society at King's College London. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony, BFM 89.9.
It's 5:14. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about social media hot takes. It's been a week with many things happening, many opinions being expressed. So we thought we'd look at the sort of culture of communication that exists online. We'd like to hear from you. Do you think social media has created a culture of knee-jerk reactions? That number to call, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to speak about this is Dr. Nikki Cheong, lecturer in digital culture and society at King's College London. Nikki, welcome to the show.
Hi, welcome. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Good morning here. This week's been, this week there have been two real big things that blew up, Will Smith and UITM. And in both cases, there were a lot of different reactions, a lot of commentary. What did you make of the tone as well as the sheer amount of opinions that people were sharing?
I think I did, you know, it's 2022. I don't think we should be very surprised at what has happened. I think the tone, you see a myriad of emotions. You see kindness, you see anger, you see confusion. I think that these are things that we have come to know that happens on social media, but not surprised in the sense that, you know, everybody these days feel like they need to have an opinion on something and need to share it.
So the thing about something going viral on social media is that it's a little bit of a snowball turning into an avalanche kind of situation, right? Because we see this sort of immediate swell and then begin the arguments and issues that aren't immediately connected to the actual post or event. What drives this type of engagement from people?
I think, you know, there's various factors at play, right? So there's people who feel like they need to say something, people who want to say something, people who resonate with the issues, feel like they have their own personal stories to share and their own connections and their own rationalizations. I think the platforms make it easy for us to do these kind of things. It's so easy to press a retweet button and leave a comment, for example. It's so easy to craft something in 280 characters. And then, of course, there's a whole kind of idea that, you know, like, I have to be part of this conversation, right? Not just about having opinions, but just if I miss out, then I miss out. There's this kind of almost a rush that you get sometimes, you know, the whole FOMO, fear of missing out and things. It's not only about kind of events and things. It's about kind of missing out on conversations and not being part of it.
I wanted to expand on that notion of, that pressure to express a stand, to have an opinion on every issue. How does this impact the kind of conversations that people end up having?
I mean, I don't know about conversations, right? Because a lot of these things are not posted in conversational style. So people post something, long Facebook posts as commentary, short tweets as commentary. It's not always posted to get a conversation going. Sometimes conversation happen, people will reply and you engage with them. But I think a lot of the ones that I've seen, at least on my timelines so far, has just been kind of hot takes as opposed to kind of conversation. I think we shouldn't get this confused with kind of natural conversation that people have, which also kind of happens.
let's talk a bit about the difference, right? Because we've been using hot takes as if everyone will automatically get what that means. And I'm not sure that people do. So in terms of, you know, having a distinction between the sort of immediate reaction that happens on, say, your Twitter or Instagram or what have you, versus conversation, which I think you're right, it does get conflated a lot. What are the differences?
I think that is, for me, probably the intention. You know, are you posting something kind of going, Will Smith was wrong, or Chris Rock was right, or what about Jada Pinkett Smith? You know, if we're going to just take those sentences, for example, they don't stimulate conversation. It's an opinion, right? But if you're kind of going there, going, you know, as somebody who might have the same condition as Jada, I'm wondering how, you know, and that is the kind of nature. I think everything that we see on social media these days, because the platforms make us feel like it's meant to be conversational, there's comments, there's retweets, there's all of those kind of features, we think that it's a conversation. But, you know, what are our intentions? Do we actually want people to respond to us? And you know, like on Twitter, for example, now, in the last couple of years, you can choose not to let people respond to you or who responds to you. And I've seen a lot of comments where people kind of, because they don't want to get attacked, so to speak, they use that feature, and which means that they're not interested in conversations. They just want to put their point out there. I'm not saying any it's wrong. I'm just saying that, you know, these are two very different intentions.
And what is it about the nature of online communication that, at least on the surface of it, seems to breed conflict at a faster rate?
I mean, this goes back to ideas of what the media is and what the platform is and what the nature of social media in itself, right? And it's not specifically necessarily to do with conflict. And of course, it breeds conflict. Conflict can happen. But, you know, the good things that we like about social media, you know, when we talk about ideas of democratization, when we talk about freedom of speech, when we talk about any of these kind of things, it is the exact same nature that allows this to happen. And I think it would be very remiss of us, or at least very selfish of us, to kind of think that, you know, we only want the good things, but not the bad things that come with it. How we navigate it is something that we might need to kind of think about. But I don't think that the nature of social media specifically breeds conflict, but certainly conflict can emerge from there quite easily.
So if you'll indulge us right on this conflict line of questioning, because we do see camps forming filled with people who are very firmly for or against whatever the topic of the day might be, you know, whether it's Will Smith and Chris Rock and people taking sides, whether it's UITM and people defending the lecturer, defending the student, what effect does this have on shaping the dynamic and the different kind of thoughts forming around the issue?
I mean, I think it comes down to the root of it, right? So I think the thrust of our conversation so far is, you know, what is social media doing? What is social media like? We can't see it in silo. Social media is one form of communication, and we are the people who communicate. So I think we need to take in kind of what else, how are we influencing the kind of spaces as well through our thoughts and our behavior. So polarization is massive, and we know this from politics, and it's, you know, why shouldn't there be polarization in any kind of other issues? I think we need to also think what people are doing and how we want to drive these conversations. And people certainly feel that, and there's different things, right? There's peer pressure, for example. There's narcissism. There's people, like I said just now, FOMO. There's a lot of kind of emotive reasons and different ways you can rationalize this. And if we bring the kind of human behavior of using digital technologies into play, then the questions might have to shift a little bit. Sure, social media and the technologies allow certain things to happen, but people also make choices in the way that they use the platforms.
If we look at the rate with which these stories gain traction on social media, what impact does this have on the people involved?
I mean, it's difficult, right? And I think that the tricky thing about this is, of course, we actually don't know the full stories. We see a little clip. We see a lot of people who I've spoken to who's made opinions both about UITM and both about the Oscars. A lot of them have never ever saw the clips. They read stories, they see other tweets and those kind of things. I just want to say, like, for the people, it depends, because we don't know what we don't know what instigated it. We don't know what the intentions were. We don't know how people feel. Interpretations, for example, right? So everybody has an opinion about Will Smith's face. Was he laughing? Was he not, for example? Did Jada say something to make him do this? Was it staged and everything? I mean, it's hard on the people, definitely, because it's not nice to be attacked. You know, no matter how many, and there will always be people who will be on your side and against you. But this is also the nature of it. And I think that if you want to be a public figure these days, that's part of the criteria. It's that we know that these conversations happen. We know that this kind of hot takes happen. You just have to kind of live with it in that sense. Now, the UITM issue is slightly different in the sense that this was a private space, right? This was a classroom. So, you know, that whole idea of kind of screenshotting and recording and everything, I think that's slightly different. And I think it's important for conversations like that to go public, especially if nothing is being done. This is a power thing, right? Between a teacher and a seemingly defenseless student. But also, you know, people need to also, I think, remember that not everything needs to go on social media. Has every other avenue been tried, you know? So were there internal efforts in trying to resolve these things as opposed to just, you know, getting the attention? So again, it goes back to motivations and that kind of things. And I think it becomes a bit more hard and slightly complicated with the UITM issue versus, say, you know, three Hollywood stars who are multimillionaires.
So, you know, what should people consider before reacting to a story on social media? I mean, what are some of the things that we could all be perhaps a little bit more mindful of?
I mean, the first thing is for us to realize what platforms we are using and actually understanding the platforms a bit better. So know that these platforms are made for us to do these things, whether or not it's good for or bad for us, right? So I think using platforms is not just as easy as, oh, what can I craft out in 280 characters? Or how can I make this succinct? It's like, what is this platform trying to make me do? I think that's kind of an important thing. We make choices about devices and apps that we use. Why not, you know, make choices based on kind of the affordances of these kind of platforms? The second thing is, I think that people just need to realize that there are real lives behind these things. And we've been having this conversation a lot, you know, kind of cyberbullying and trolling and doxing and all of those kind of things, that real life has real consequences. And we've seen around the world, especially within politics and things, people are seriously hurt. Some people die because of these kind of, because of what is seemingly words, you know. And I think that people need to be aware that there are consequences, not maybe not to themselves, but there are consequences to some people. And, you know, it could be you. I mean, I don't want to wish this on anybody, but any one of us could have been, you know, in a car park and something happens and that's it. It gets recorded and you're next, right?
While these sorts of things seem overwhelming at the time, these issues do also tend to fade away quite quickly. What effect does this have on how people engage with topics that might actually be more entrenched? Things like racism, for instance.
Yeah, so before I go into the second part of the question, I think people have to realize that even though it goes very quickly, that, you know, it has affected the lives of the people involved. And that will stay, right? Just because we're on to the next topic now doesn't mean that, you know, all of the people who were affected by the incident there's no consequences in their lives, and it might impact them for a very, very long time. I think that in terms of conversations, and again, this goes back to it, like the good and the bad, because I think that in some ways, some of these conversations are really good because it allows, you know, like movements thrive on these kind of things. And these are movements that have never been able to be seen at this scale, you know, in 15 to 20 years ago, right? So we think of social movements, we think about kind of Black Lives Matter, we think about kind of, you know, elections and fair elections, we think about all these kind of things. It has kind of long-term repercussions in a beneficial way. But of course, like you said, you know, if things like this are rooted in kind of racism and it's rooted in kind of classism and any of those kind of things, that swells along with it also. And I think this goes back to that previous question, right? Like as users, you know, what kind of choices are we making? And I think because the platforms are not doing it, and maybe the platforms need to find ways to slow down conversations, and they certainly can. Nowadays, they send you a reminder that the thing that you're posting is about is misinformation, for example. They remind you that, you know, this is a message about COVID-19, so be careful about what you read. They can do these kind of things. There are ways that they can slow down conversations to remind you, like, do you need to say something? Like, you know, is your opinion unique? Do you have something novel to share? And I'm not saying that people shouldn't share, but I think if more people stopped and thought about it, maybe they kind of go, actually, there's nothing I'm saying that isn't already been said, you know.
Nikki, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Dr. Nikki Cheong, lecturer in Digital Culture and Society at King's College London, weighing in on the notion of the social media hot take. This comes at the, on the back of a week that has seen quite a number of them on a number of different issues. We'd like to hear from you. Do you think social media has created a culture of knee-jerk reactions? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.